Well, I've told you this story before, but I'm going to tell you it again if I have. But a story is told of a shopper, having been tired from a long day trawling all those shops, goes and gets a bag of cookies, puts them in her bag, and then she goes and queues up for a cup of coffee, and she gets a mug of coffee, and fighting through the tables, she finds a spare chair and sits down and begins to relax. And after she's removed the lid of her coffee, you know, she takes a sip, gets a magazine out of her bag and starts reading. A few moments later, she takes one of the cookies. But as she did, a guy opposite her also took one of the cookies. This put her off somewhat, but, you know, she didn't say anything. A few minutes later, she took another cookie and ate it, and so did the guy sitting opposite her. I mean, she... Well, she kept her composure, didn't say anything. And guess what happened? A few minutes later, she took a cookie, and so did the guy in front of her. I mean, she was beginning to scream inside because there's now only one cookie left. And apparently the guy opposite also noticed there was only one cookie left because he then took it, broke it in half, gave half to her, ate his half, put his newspaper under his armpit and walked off. I mean, she was just absolutely... Well, she was already thinking about how on earth was she, what story was she going to tell you when she got home? So anyway, she folded up her magazine, opened up her bag, and what should she see? Her bag of cookies. Now, she was being possessive of her cookies. You know, I don't know, it reminded me of that scene. I don't know whether you've ever come across Finding Nemo, but I think the gulls in Finding Nemo, I think, is the best characterization of gulls anyway. They just shout, mine, mine. So you know that noise that gulls make. Rah, rah. They're saying mine. And since she was like that, mine, 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 she was being possessive of these cookies while the true owner of those cookies was graciously sharing them with her. I wonder whether that resonates with us. It resonates with me because it reminds me of the problem I have with my heart. You know, God really does supply everything we could ever need. And yet, because of his abundance, we take it for granted, don't we? And we, like in the lady in our story, become possessive of the stuff that God has given us. And so it's really good. Once a year, specifically at Harvest, we remember to give thanks to God for all the things that he has given us, because we instinctively forget that it is of God. Every good and perfect gift comes from our God and Father above. Yes, it's good to enjoy God's cookies, but let's remember that they are his. So this morning, whether we are a fully paid up believer in the Lord Jesus Christ, whether we're browsing the things of God, or whether at the moment we're not even interested in it, may we remember and be able to see how bountiful God is in his provision to us. And what we're going to do, we're going to be looking at Psalm 111 together. So if you've got a Bible, do pick it up, open it up. There's some in front of you. And what I'd love us to do is we're going to read this together. So it's going to come on screen. So Psalm 111 should be somewhere there. And I'd love it. In a way, this is our creed today because it says so much about our God. We're going to say this together. But we're not just going to read it passively. I want you to be looking out for some things, okay? As we read it through, can you spot the gifts of God? So what does God give us? And also look out for the characteristics of God, because God connects with us. Let's see the affections that God has for us. Looking for gifts, looking for affections of God. Can you spot these? So it's on screen. Maybe read together. Praise the Lord. I will give thanks to the Lord with my whole heart. In the company of the upright, in the congregation, great are the works of the Lord, studied by all who delight in them. Full of splendor and majesty is his work, and his righteousness endures forever. He has caused his wondrous works to be remembered. The Lord is gracious and merciful. He provides food for those who fear him. He remembers his covenant forever. He has shown his people the work of his works in giving them the inheritance of the nations. The works of his hands are faithful and just. All his precepts are trustworthy. They are established forever and ever, to be performed with faithfulness and uprightness. He sent redemption to his people. He has commanded his covenant forever. Holy and awesome is his name. The fear of the Lord is the beginning of wisdom. All those who practice it have a good understanding. His praise endures forever. Do you know, like the guy in our story who was quite happy to share his cookies with that lady? Do you know, so God really loves to share his cookies with us. He longs for us to take them. He longs for us to enjoy them. But of course, he longs for us to say thanks to him for them. Question. Think back to a time when a stranger has done something really good to you. How do you respond? I wonder how you might respond. I know when the boys come home and one of the kids at school is giving them something, they go, "Daddy, Daddy, whoever it might be, Alfie's just given me something." You know, we like to celebrate, don't you, when somebody has done something good for us. Well, look at verse 1. How should we respond to God for all the good things he has done for us? Praise the Lord. Hallelujah is the word there. I will give thanks to the Lord with my whole heart. Hey, everybody, God's been sharing his cookies with me. Aren't they great? Isn't God amazing? I wonder whether we feel like that this morning. Well, if we're not sort of humming in praise and thanks to God, I wonder why. Let me suggest two reasons. I think one reason, certainly the one I find, is that because I take it for granted that I'm not sort of humming with, hey, I'm sharing God's cookies, isn't that great? But maybe it's for some of us here, we don't yet have that personal relationship with the God. So we don't necessarily see the amazing things of this world are gifts from him. And you know, we say it always at the front. You know, if you want to know more about God, speak to us. You know, we can do Hope Explored, Christianity Explored. We can just talk to you, talk to each other. This God really is worth getting to know because he does so much for us. So how can we delight in God? In a way, this is the question that we are going to be answering today. Well, look at verse 2. Maybe it can help us. May we get delighted in God as we see, great are the works of the Lord, studied by all who delight in them. Do you know, it is, isn't it, as we come to recognize that the things around us are from God, that we come to delight in God. And as we come to delight in them, we want to study them more and see how it all works. You know, we know something of this in our human relationships, don't we? You know, how do you feel when you get a letter from somebody or a text from somebody or a WhatsApp or something through social media, whatever? You know, it makes us feel good, doesn't it? This person is interested in me. This person has affections for me because they've thought of getting contact for me. Do you know, I got a letter through a post from a pen pal in Greece. You know, wow, this, you know, he's only 18. Why he talks to me, I have no idea. We met through business. It's really funny. But it makes you feel good, doesn't it? And how much more when we receive an unexpected gift from somebody. Actually, that same guy, I sent some parts. When we closed our business, I sent him a whole load of machine parts we no longer needed. I nearly got him and his dad arrested. So be careful where you send your gifts. Anyway, but most of the time when we receive a gift, it is that wow moment, isn't it? And we can know that with God and what he has given us. We can have that lovely, warm feeling. So as we look through our psalm, can we see things in it that will hopefully enable us once more to delight in our God? So I'm going to pull out first whether you can see three gifts and whether you can see a number of affections. So let's run through the gifts first of all. What gifts does God give us? So look at verse 5. What gift can you see? Food. Yes. Number 6. Verse 6, rather. Can you see what God gives us there? Power. Power? Yeah. What else? And somebody said it, land, I think. Yep. Land, he gives us a home. We all have a place to live, don't we? That is a gift of God. Did you see in verse 9 what he gives us?
Redemption.
Redemption, yeah. He saves us. The gift of eternal life. Aren't they amazing gifts that God gives us? Now, think about the affections that God has for us. We have to look slightly sideways. But if you look at verse 3, what is a characteristic of God you see in verse 3? Splendor and majesty, yeah. And righteousness. Righteousness means, in terms of us, God can only do what is right. So when God is relating to us, we know it is right. Even when we might not necessarily like what God is doing with us, we know it is right. What can you see in verse 4? What is God like?
Gracious.
Yeah, grace is when God gives us what we don't deserve. What else have we got in there? Merciful, yeah, mercy. When God doesn't give us what we do deserve. Grace and mercy are great contrasts. Grace is when God gives us stuff we don't deserve, and mercy is when he doesn't give us what we do deserve. What do you find in verse 5?
Covenant.
Yeah, the fact that he remembers that covenant. Covenant is a promise. We'll look at that in a little later. But yeah, he remembers the promises he made with us, his people. Number 7, anything you see in verse 7? Yeah, he's faithful. His faithfulness to us. Yeah, he doesn't give up on us. Isn't that amazing? He's trustworthy. We can trust everything there is about our God. Yeah. Anything you see in verse 8? Yeah. Again, the way he works is both faithful and upright. Faithful to us, his people, and upright means that, again, it cannot be wrong. It is what is right for us. And in verse 9, you've also got his holiness. God can only do what is perfect. He is perfectly moral too. You know, when we read through those gifts, read through those affections and the character of God and how that means how he relates to us, in affections for us. You know, there's people who say God's aloof. He's just not interested. Well, read this psalm. Is that the impression you get of God? I'd hope the answer is no. You know, our God loves to give us gifts. He loves us to share his cookies. And may we be thankful for them. Now, we were going to sing again, but we've sung Our God's a Great Big God, so I will move on. So we're going to be thinking about three things in which will hopefully help us delight in God again. Now, let me tell you another story. Sorry, Carl, you're going to move on. It's the picture, I think. Now, a few years ago, friends of mine, we went climbing. Move on to the next one, thanks. And we were staying on a mountain called the Monk. Does anybody come across the mountain called the Monk in France? You might know its neighbour. It's called the Eiger. That there is a hut. It's on stilts because that's how high the snow used to be at one point. So even there. So we went climbing on the Monk. Now, it was in winter. That actual hut, they just leave one room open in winter for those mad enough to go climbing in the winter. The rest of it is shut. Anyway, we went there. And I couldn't sleep. You know, I don't know whether it's because of the altitude or about 2,500, 3,000 metres that high. Forgive me, I don't know what that is in English, in feet. Some of you can do that conversion. Probably 7,000 feet, something like that. I couldn't sleep, so I went outside, and my word, if you can click the next one. Now, this isn't a picture I took, but I can assure you, when you're that high up, when there's no light pollution, there's no air pollution, the deathly quiet, you just stare and you can't stop. It was pretty amazing. It reminded me of a quote from Rico Tice. He says, "What power can bring a human being to such wordless wonder?" Well, look at verse 3. "The deeds of God are glorious and majestic." I'm sure we've all experienced the sky when you look up. When you're that much higher, it just blows your mind away. My eyes were eating God's cookies and thoroughly enjoying it. It is pretty amazing. How do we come to delight in God? It's when we look at the creation around us and see the beauty and power and majesty of it. And what greater year than this time of year? Do you know, the woods, there's a wood behind us, and the trees are slowly turning to that yellow and then red. It is just glorious, isn't it? So let's remember just to enjoy the world that God has made around us. So we can come to light in God through creation. We can come to light in our God through his promises. Look at verse 5 again. So he, next one, thanks Carl. He provides food for those who fear him. He remembers his covenant forever. Now, I don't know whether you noticed that word covenant comes up twice in our passage. And a covenant is an agreement that God makes between himself and humanity. And God is a covenant-making, a promise-keeping God. And we can come to delight in God as we experience his faithfulness to his promise. And when David wrote this psalm, he wanted us to have a deja vu moment. So when he says he provides food for those who fear him, he remembers his covenant forever. In a sense, he's wanting us to think, right, what's he referring to there? Well, in a sense, that we should, our mind should go back to what I read right at the start of our service, what he said to Noah. In that rainbow promise, in a sense, we could call it. I will not flood the earth. I will not destroy all living things again. As long as the earth endures, seed time and harvest, cold and heat, summer and winter, day and night will never cease. We can come to delight in our God as he is faithful to his promises in the food that we eat. But this is a classic area, isn't it, that we do take for granted. Because we have so much food that we can buy. And if we want to know, how do we know that we actually take this for granted? Well, think about when you go shopping, your reaction. You know, you've got your shopping. Well, I use a list. I do a list because I'm one of those who I know there's whatever it is in Morrison's. There's 12 lanes. I've mapped out where I'm going to go. I'm in, I'm out before you've eaten a donut. But we know we take it for granted. You know, you can tell I love shopping. How do we respond when we can't get what we want? You know, or we can't get the brand. You know, oh, couldn't get Heinz ketchup today. Oh, my word. You know, we go home, don't we? I couldn't get donuts today. I couldn't get Heinz ketchup today. Then the person in front of me took the last ugly fruit. I mean, what a monster they are. But we do. We love, but we do it, don't we? And that's a sign that we take for granted what we have. But there is actually something really simple we can do, isn't it? To remind ourselves that this food is from God. Anybody got any ideas what that might be? This is one of those moments where you have to guess the answer in my head. Something we can do at home that helps us to remember that the food is from God. Grace. Yeah, just say grace. It's simple as that, isn't it? Just before we eat, give thanks to God. It just remembers the goodness of our God. But before I do move on to our last thought, which is how we come to delight God through his salvation, I know some of us have probably been thinking, well, Mark, there are many today who don't have the food that they need. And if we've been watching our TVs over the last fortnight, that's been very much the case, hasn't it? Pakistan and Somalia, just to mention two. So I dare say you've had friends like I had. Well, where's your God now, Mark? You know, he promised that there'd be springtime and harvest. There would be food. So where is he? Well, in a way, it's a good point. But if you think globally, is it our lack of food that causes these situations? Do you know, they say in the UK that we, on average, we'll throw away 25% of the food that we buy. That's quite a thought, isn't it? And certainly, when I heard that, I thought, I was just thinking about what am I throwing? It did actually make me think, what am I throwing away? And in, you know, and what we see in our TV, sadly, often is caused by man's inhumanity to man, isn't it? There isn't a global shortage of food. We have enough food to go around by quite some measure. But sadly, because our own selfishness across the world, it's just not getting to everybody who needs it. And that's one reason why it's a great day like today that we can. And let's not make this a one-off. You know, we have our box out there for food bank. Let's remember those who are having need. And maybe you want to support the work like Kroger Community Fridge that have the pop-ups. They use our building once a week. You know, they're going around the supermarkets to get the food that then can be distributed out. But that still costs money. So you may want to say, find ways that we can help them too. It's sad that our rejection of God has made us, we've become selfish, and not everybody gets what they need. But it is right today, we give thanks to God for what we have and remember those who are in need and do our part at alleviating that too. But God, we can come to delight in him through creation, through his promises. But also, if you look at verse 9, he has provided redemption for us, his people. Redemption. Now, what does the word redemption mean? We don't really use it in everyday life. It is around there. We don't use it a lot. But it means to buy back. God buys us back. And when we first hear that, it can sound a bit weird. I mean, why is God buying me back? Who or what is he buying me back from? Surely I'm free, right? I am my own person. Why is God having to buy me? I mean, who's owning me if he's buying me back? All these sort of questions. Well, in a way, those questions are showing that we are eating God's cookies without realizing it, because our very lies fit the story with our cookies as well. Because God is the author, the sustainer of our life. It is part of God's time-spanning, global-spanning plan that we should exist. He is the one that gives us purpose and meaning. God loves us and cares for us. What is our natural response to God? Not interested. You know, Paul wrote to the church in Rome, chapter 3, verse 11, I think it is, no one seeks God. We really have no interest in God whatsoever. We're quite happy to eat the cookies that God gives us, the life that he's given us, and use it for ourselves. My life, my way. And although we don't like the idea that actions do have consequences, they do. Because God is holy, God is pure. And our psalm reminded us that he was upright and just. And in a similar way that we want justice towards someone who hasn't been good to us or someone who has wronged us, we want someone to pay for what they have done. Well, if we want to be with God forever in his glorious presence in paradise, well, someone has to pay for our treason against God. And we all know we can't do that ourselves. Our verse here in the psalm reminds us that it is God who pays for us to be right with him. And so we should pause and delight in God because he has redeemed us, redeemed me, so that I can be with him forever. Through the death of our Lord Jesus Christ on the cross, God pays the debt that is rightfully mine to pay. And through the life of Jesus, when he lived here, God then credits his life to us as if our own. God gives us all that we need to be. You know that phrase, I've said it 1,000 times, you'll hear it for as long as I'm working here. God forgives me all that I am and gives me all that I need to be. And this is totally unique, actually, to true Christianity. It is, we can't fix ourselves. God is the one who does it for us. He redeems us, buying us back so that we can be with him forever. For God so loved the world that he gave his only son, that whoever believes in him shall not perish, but have everlasting life. How delightful is our God? May we delight in our God through what he's made. May we delight in our God as we experience his faithfulness to his promises. And may we delight in our God as we remember what he's done for us through the Lord Jesus Christ. Amen.